Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. As we've done Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, we go back into our vast catalog of podcast episodes of A Waste of Time with It's the Real, and we pull out a conversation that maybe you missed, maybe you've listened to a million times, or maybe you haven't had the chance to check out just yet. And we call this...
It's the Real Classic.
It's the Real Classic. They are
classic,
literally
It's the Real
classic episodes. With It's the Real. And Jeff, today we're going back, not just a little bit, we're going back all the way to May of 2015, our first episode ever with...
Alchemist. Or actually, I guess The Alchemist.
The Alchemist.
But wow, I didn't realize that was like, this is our fifth year anniversary.
Coming up. Yeah. Crazy.
So this is,
apropos?
Yeah, maybe we're like really smart about this sort of thing.
Well,
which I honestly didn't even know.
Yeah, it's at the end of the month, but here we are in May.
All right, well, you know,
this
whatever.
Is the
Photoshop it.
The
I don't know.
First episode we've ever done, and I have to say, in listening to it again today, there's some great, great stories that we got at Alchemist, and there's some bad, bad hosts.
Really?
I think that we have gotten much better.
Okay.
I wouldn't. Maybe I'm just jumping this sort of gun to say that we're bad.
Yeah.
We're just more
comfortable,
adept now.
We was have. It, is it? What is it?
I think people should listen.
Yeah.
I think we're a little more nervous. I think we're a little more green. You know. And now,
are we still like engaging?
We are engaging. We're funny. We're talented. But it's just not the
the polished hosts that we are today.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
You get Alchemist talking about why, until that point at least, he had never worked with Jay-Z.
Which is a great story.
Great story. You hear how he brought We Gon' Make It to Jadakiss and Styles P. You get him doing the greatest Jadakiss impression, talking about how Jada said that the labels are there so you can rape the budget. There's just a lot of greatness in this episode. It's really worth re-listening to. I know it got brought up recently when Alchemist and Conway the Machine were talking with Rob Markman over at Genius about a lot of stuff, but they brought up that story, so salute to all of them for that. And shout out to Alchemist for being, you know, our number one guest. It was super dope that he took a chance on us in that moment to do this long form interview, and it still lasts. It's still great to this day, even if we are greater. Jeff, before we get into this episode, we should let people know that tonight at 5:00 p.m. at patreon.com/itsthereal,
you and I are going to be battling.
Yes. So everyone knows about the versus battles.
Yeah, this is not that. This is not going to have 500,000 people in there.
Well, it's still going to have that same energy of Babyface and Teddy Riley. It's still going to have that same, like,
I think I'm more Babyface.
Acclaim as Timbaland and Swiss Beats. It's still got, you know, the stakes like Erykah Badu and Jill Scott.
Oh yeah, the stakes are super high.
This is everything.
Yeah, this is there's a lot on the line here tonight, and so
one of us has to move out.
Yeah,
there I said
those are the rules. Or one of us gets somebody else to move in.
So tonight, 5:00 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yes, we are going to be doing a battle of AKAs, all of my AKAs against yours, top 20 at least.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a fun hour or so.
Yeah, so you can only see it, you can only experience it, you can only check it out if you are a paying member.
At patreon.com/itsthereal.
And by the way, we've gotten an influx of people lately. A lot of people have been doing $2, $3 a month, which is fantastic, and salute to you.
But so if you want to do $500,000 a month,
you can. It is allowed. We are not saying no.
I'm not saying no.
But the bar is, you know, very low. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a part of this movement, this is an easy way to start, and we are going to be rewarding you guys with events and givebacks such as this on a regular basis. Before we go anywhere, do you have any new Patreon subscribers that you would like to shout out?
I want to shout out Jason Johnson, Javier Martinez, Kimberly Drew, Noises, Jefferson, DJ Drama, Michelle Greenwood, Darius Black, Mads Theodosin, Nadia, and Zachary Holtkamp.
Salute to all of you guys out there, and shouts to everyone who is already a member at patreon.com/itsthereal. Jeff, when do you want to get into this episode with Alchemist?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. the costume designer, a.k.a. pusher wig back. Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. got that work, a.k.a. steadily employed. How do I follow that? Ooh. Yo, what's up? This is
mad magician, Scientologist, exclusive man, alchemist.
And this is a waste of time, but this is the real. Thanks for coming through, Alchemist.
That was not bad. You turned it up immediately.
Oh, listen. Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa. I thought I needed a coffee. I don't even need one. I'm good.
By the way, it's the world's most dangerous podcast.
That's right.
It's
immediate. You just hit the ground running, right?
Does anyone call you the Alchemist? Like, it's...
That's weird.
It's just not necessary.
I mean, besides iTunes.
Yeah, it's right, weird. Yeah. So it was always a weird, like, the Alchemist.
Right.
Hey, the Alchemist. You know, that sounds kind of important, though.
Yeah, as opposed to an alchemist.
Yeah.
And alchemist.
We sold this podcast to the Sideshow Network, and they asked us for, like, a short description of what it would be. And we're like, oh, rappers and different personalities are going to come over to our Upper West Side apartment in Manhattan, and it's going to be a dinner party-style conversation. Nice. Something got lost in translation, and they put the press release out, and it said that they were going to have a dinner party.
Yeah, and that's it.
At our apartment.
And so then that means
a party.
Yeah, so now it means that we have to, like, actually cook for people.
So
a bunch of rappers.
So yes. We have so far. Like, Lil Durk and Lil Durk came over, we made him hamburgers, smoked Dizza, we made him
an acorn squash with sausage and red onions and diced
cherries. You guys
know
how to make this shit?
Yeah, work in the kitchen. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So really, we should have done this out in Manhattan.
We could have chefed it up.
Yeah.
I'm not good. I fucking suck.
Now, so anyway, we're here in Los Angeles.
Yes.
We don't have a kitchen.
No kitchen in Los Angeles.
No.
None. But we do have a donut shop that we went to.
Yes. Oh. Do you know Koufax on Fairfax?
Koufax.
It's right across from the Supreme store where everyone is sitting out there waiting for, like, you know.
Are these like they sit stand in line for these donuts type of shit?
I mean, probably. Yeah. We're not from here, but we imagine so.
No, we like Koufax. They're dope. They make great donuts. They make great breakfast burritos. So we'll stop there. And it's awesome.
Shout out to Koufax.
Yeah.
I want a breakfast burrito, man.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Good. Do you like order in, like, you? So you record at your house, right?
Yeah, studio apartment type of hideaway.
So besides when Action comes over,
yes,
and he cooks, do you order in? I mean,
yes, I don't do any type of cooking myself unless it's like a frozen pizza or like, you know what I mean, like the Celeste, the French bread ones.
Yeah,
those are fire. I'll definitely do those every now and then.
You have your seamless favorites
for sure. There's a couple go, you know, studio food, just studio food, nothing crazy. You know, but we pretty much order everything.
Yeah,
you know, so it's, now they got super lazy apps now. Like Postmates or something, and you can just—they just deliver from every restaurant. So
really,
it's good money. You can just be a piece of shit, kick back, and you could order a fat burger. You order a goddamn fat burger,
or you could do TaskRabbit and
have someone go get that.
Yeah.
Somebody put me up on that early, and it was crazy because when we were in Austin, we were—you know—what's that one ridiculous barbecue joint out there?
Oh,
Rudy's or Root? No, it's one place.
Stubbs.
There's one place where they stand in line for 6 hours.
Yeah.
So we were going to use that to get somebody to stand in line. But apparently, like, it had just started blowing up and now it's all regulated. But in the beginning, it was like free network. Like, you would just say what you needed.
Yeah.
You could say, I need someone to fucking build, whatever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just come, whatever. So it was like, I don't think it's a little more controlled now. The TaskRabbit.
I don't know.
I heard that, like, you can make them, like, wait in line, like, anywhere.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's very Jewish.
You
that's
never,
an extremely Jewish thing.
Don't never have to actively do anything ever again.
What? Yeah. Stand in line? We never. Stand in lines anyways.
Has Action ever cooked for you?
Of course.
I mean, but what has he made?
He's put me on. He does a lot of simple stuff when we're at the studio. Like, he'll just do simple. Like, he makes this cauliflower that's crazy. I like vegetables.
Yeah.
But.
I mean,
a lot of people don't.
Monica, so.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. But he puts, like, I don't know
he
how.
He finesses them.
He finesses. And the way he cooks is, like, how he raps and also how he does, like, graffiti.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like a lot all of, around like, 80s references, 90s references.
He does it his way and get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to help him.
Right.
Don't, you know, he's very, like.
But you can help him. Like, you would.
I'm
going to
peel the fucking potatoes. You know what I mean? Like, if only thing he'll let you do is, like, horrible jobs like that, like, you know, but he controls, you know.
You should task rabbit the peeling of the potatoes.
Yeah,
like cutting up the
everything he gets me to do is task rabbit. Now, he makes some good guacamole, though. It's simple shit he makes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But do you do your own, like, shopping for groceries or anything?
Yeah, that's always where you see, like, the best women.
Yeah, okay.
Always.
Yeah.
So that's always a good thing. I don't mind going, like, you know, grocery shopping.
You know who I see grocery shopping?
Who do you see?
Peter Rosenberg.
That's whack. Shout out to Peter, but I don't want to. I'd rather see some.
It's true only because he lives across the street from us. So. Yeah, yeah.
Shout they out keep to the Peter. Jews together on they the do, huh? one side. Yeah,
see him shopping for his fucking. What does he get?
He's got a wife. He's got a
raisin
dog.
Raisin Bran.
Yeah, he is Raisin Bran. Strictly Raisin Bran.
Yeah, he looks like
Bran.
He would eat Raisin Bran or like grape nuts. He would eat fucking grape nuts. Nah, but I mean, what do I buy? I definitely stock up with the cereal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I still eat cereal.
Right.
So does that mean I switch it up?
You're hitting like Trader Joe's or something?
I go to the regular one.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
Whole Foods is, listen, you know, it's good for certain things, Whole Foods. You know what I mean? But I don't go there to shop for the cereal. You're going to get some crazy, I don't know. They're all like specializers.
Right. Well, first of all, it's like off brand.
Like, I like regular shit. Yeah. Old school. I like grilled cheese sandwich with white bread and American cheese. That's the only way I'll eat it.
Can you make that for yourself?
I don't really make grilled cheese.
TaskRabbit can.
TaskRabbit that. Yeah, I don't really make fucking grilled cheese, but that would be, yeah.
You know what's funny is that you, like, you're really, okay, well, you just put out this project recently with Grand Theft Auto.
Yes.
Right? You and Ono did. Mm-hmm. And the whole conceit of it is, like, Los Santos.
Yep.
It's a Eric lot like
no Spanish. So that's why he like yeah.
But Los Santos is a lot.
How you say?
It's a lot like Los Angeles, right? So it's like this Los Angeles sound that you guys can sort of like create in for this world, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
You're born and raised here.
Yes, sir.
You spent a lot of time in New York, though. Like a lot of people consider you like very New York. Considering,
I'm a hybrid.
Yeah, like Mobb Deep and Action and all the New York guys. But you're really, really West Coast.
For sure.
Like, driver's license, like...
All the way.
Yeah.
All
but
the way.
Then on this album, you have so many people, and you're creating this California sound, but you have so many people who are not from California.
Yeah, you know what it was? just to give you the whole thing, was we first scored the game last year. Or it was a year before.
2013.
For Grand Theft Auto 5. Yeah. So me, Ono, this guy named Woody Jackson, this crazy musician, he's incredible, and Edgar Freese from Tangerine Dream, like legend, old, just passed away recently. It was crazy. It was one of the last things he did.
Damn.
We scored it together, us four. And after we scored the game, there was so much music left over that it was just like beats or ideas. It was too much stuff. So, you know, we have a good relationship with the Rockstar guys. You know, they're just like friends of ours, and we do a lot of work with them. So we kind of sold them on the idea, or we kind of together spoke about, yo, man, what are we going to do with this music? Because it was always dope. It just didn't have a home.
Yeah.
Just the beats, really. That's how it started, the idea. It was like, well, why don't we do a project? Because they had the PC version of Grand Theft Auto coming out. So it's like, yo, let's find a home for these beats. Boom.
Sure.
And so it started like that, and then it grew into more because we didn't want to limit it or be like, has to sound like L.A. or we can only use L.A. rappers.
And gotcha.
Like, also because the game is so... you know, like it's such a broad spectrum of the people who are into the game. You don't want to limit it to like one genre or one coast. That's why we mixed a lot of different sounds on the show.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But I think, like, at least for us, like, it's crazy how it still all does sound like California, even though these people are not from California. Like, I think that the sound is just so.
Right.
And it has that.
Yeah. And that's people like Ferg or Killer Mike or like whoever. It's not necessarily like a West Coast, you know, artist or anything. Freddie Gibbs is not West Coast, but he is West Coast.
He lives now. Yeah, but it's funny because we didn't even try to do it, but I think it's the combination of the game, what it represented, the way we presented it with the artwork, and also the music that we sampled was no, we couldn't use samples.
Right,
obviously,
right.
You know, rock stars is big; they don't want to get any issues. So they gave us like a lot of music that we could sample that was created for musicians.
Yeah,
just beds of music, or they assembled like a band and made stuff. So it kind of did have all the beats that we made were from this batch.
That's so
music.
Great.
So it kind of has like the whole shit kind of has.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The one where Freddie is like changing his whole style up and it's like almost like from the islands.
Yes.
That's so tough.
Yeah, that's with my man Popcon, which is like, see, you know, a lot of these artists I either knew of just as a fan or didn't even know at all.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, you know, that was when we decided to make the album, they were like, yo, you know, we want to do some reggae stuff. We want to do rock because we don't want it to be stuck. Because, you know, myself and Ono, we're known for Not with nothing on the level of Rockstar or Grand Theft Auto as far as our reach.
Sure, no, sure.
I mean, it's I remember when you did that thing with Iggy Azalea that was way bigger than you know what I mean? Anything. Yeah.
Come on.
You won a Billboard Award for it.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, congratulations.
Shit. Shout out to my girl. Nah, but, you know, I mean, it was a lot, you know, so we knew that. That it was like, okay, it's got to be broader than what we do.
Yeah.
So then when they hired us, it wasn't like, yo, just keep making an underground album. And just
yeah,
do
right.
This, you know. Super under the radar stuff. So we mixed in the genres and did a couple of different things, and it was cool.
Were Currency and Freddie in the studio when they wrote together?
Yeah.
So they spit back and forth, and it was real right there live.
Yeah, they wanted us to, as much as we could, they wanted us to get in with all the artists. We did pretty much like a little more than half of the songs we did together with the artists.
So that's awesome.
That was one for sure.
That's going to make a big difference, though, right?
Yeah, and then, you know, you get the vibe with each other, and you get to get some footage, and it's good. It adds to it, I
that's
think.
That's dope. You know what I mean? So we just, we an hour ago, got back from Vegas, right? We drove back this morning real early and got in here from Vegas. You're from Los Angeles. Did you start going to Vegas when you were, like, 18?
I think we used to go to this fucking reservation one casino called Casino Morongo. Me and AM used to go, man.
Yeah.
DJ AM used to drive out there in his car when he's like, oh man, this was, you know, like when I was in high school, I think.
Yeah.
And we used to go out there. It was like, you know, the hour and a half. It was on the way to Palm Springs.
Okay.
And it was just like you'd be in the desert driving in there to just be this fucking neon sign that just says moron go. You know, we used to be like, damn, shit is like playing us
did
morons.
You?
And we used to go there because it was like 18 and over, I think. And we had, I think it was all good, but we were at least 18 at the time.
Yeah.
Or had a fake ID that said you were.
Right.
I think we had, I must have been 18. So it was right after high school.
Yeah.
And we used to go there. And it was like you had to pay 50 cents each hand.
Really?
Before you had to like Annie. But it added up. You used nothing.
Sure.
Know, but, you know, it was like, so that was the beginning. Plus, my grandfather's, my mother's from Las Vegas.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, my grandfather was from Las Vegas, so it was like.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, as a kid, we used to go out there to Circus and shit.
I spent an hour in Circus waiting for Eric.
Recently?
Like today, yesterday, yeah.
So, let me tell you, do you remember it in the 80s or 90s or no?
No,
this is our first time there.
The only, okay. We went for the first time this weekend. The only other thing I know about Circus is what I've seen in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yo, it's ill because in the 80s, it was basically we were all kids and all our parents were gamblers. So
yeah.
They would go on vacations. They would drop us off at Circus. And it would be like, now that I think back, it was like all these games. But it was designed like a fucking casino. So it was like raising us. It was like, there's the baby casino. You
right.
can play and get ready for when you're old enough to go to the real casino.
That's right.
It was sick. I thought about it recently. Like, yo, they were fucking grooming us.
When we drove down, so there's like one way to get from Los Angeles down to Las Vegas. And once you cross the Nevada border, there's a town built specifically for a casino, like for those people who just need to get past the border.
Prim.
Yeah, Prim.
Yeah, Prim. Yeah,
yep, Whiskey.
Yeah,
Pete.
Whiskey Pete. Yep. Yeah.
Good old win. That last chance.
That's
man.
It. Yeah.
Hold
either
on,
in
man.
Or out. Yeah.
Like, Prim is right next to Roach. Eric and I like looked at the Wikipedia
Roach?
Pages.
Yeah. Roach, Nevada.
But if you need your mail and you live in Prim, you have to go to Gene,
which is like
Nevada.
11 miles away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds so dope. I really want to.
The whole other world over there, man. It's fucking crazy.
It's like America. Mad Max. Like it just feels like the end of the world.
Yeah.
Like
it would be the opposite of growing up in Los Angeles. It's just desolate and like. Imagine that you're like your folks just work at like that one spot and that's your whole town.
Prim, that's all you do.
Prim,
that one block and Prim right by the fucking freeway, the tumbleweed. Yeah, I think we went in there a couple of times, Whiskey Food, but it's like
did you really
desperation?
Yeah.
Oh, the faces in there, boy.
Well, now the version is when you go to the airport, they have like all the slots. Like,
oh, right. Your boy definitely hit the 1,000 on the Wheel of Fortune in the airport. Definitely hit. That
was a nice flight back.
Yeah,
I did. It was like $300. You know, like, but you hit the jackpot. You're like, oh, we won. It's like $300 or something. 1,000 quarters. What is it?
Oh my god.
250.
Yeah, can you get through TSA with that money?
They give you cash.
Okay.
Yeah, they cash you out, but it was just fun. Jackpot one time.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune in the airport.
I feel like so we went and we stayed with our cousin who lives like off the strip in like a suburb, right? So I feel like we didn't get like necessarily like the real Vegas experience.
No.
Because
that
it
sucks.
Yeah,
how are you guys doing? What's going on here? Fucking
I mean,
go to Vegas, you
yeah,
don't blow
fuck
it up?
Family. I don't know why.
What the fuck is going on with your priorities over here?
We have zero like
casinos.
Yes,
we did end up going to like all basically all the casinos, though, like for different events this weekend. Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
was it busy out there? Was
yeah, it was really busy. Busy.
That's where the awards were.
Yeah, yeah, down at the MGM. Yeah,
and then we went to all the parties.
Yeah, you guys did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
we ended up
getting access. I liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We ended up at a party. Fuck with that. Taylor Swift had a party on the top of the
Caesar's Palace.
Yeah, and it said it was the 83rd floor, but it definitely wasn't.
No, it's like the 9th floor. Yeah, it was crazy.
There were not one but two members of One Direction there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's when you know it's popping. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So, pretty
what do
great
they
weekend.
Do in Vegas?
Yo.
Mostly just stood around and talked very quietly.
Right. Yeah, you're not old enough, right?
Sure. Also, like, you know, people like Adrien Grenier were walking around, and it's like, just by himself, right? And he's clearly, like, looking for a conversation, but I don't want to be, like, the guy who's just like, hey, we know one of your friends, and that's it. That's all I know about you. Like,
yeah.
That's not
yeah.
going to start.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, not at all.
See, I know three of his friends.
Oh, do you? Oh.
Members of Entourage.
There you go.
Ooh.
Thank you. Yep.
I think one time I had DJed a party for Crooks and Castles in Vegas. This is when Prodigy was in jail.
Yeah.
And his son came out to stay with me. Fuck, he must have been 13 at the time or 15. And I took him with me to Vegas.
To Circus Circus.
He stayed with me. I DJed in the one of those suites where it was like the suite that had the basketball court in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dope.
They had the crazy suites at the Palms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he came with me and was hanging out, and he just hated it because he was going downstairs and he had to stay in the room. But I did take him to the party, and he met Pusha T,
who was
there, and Pusha was definitely drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was just like, yo, when I told him it was Prodigy's son, he was like, yo, we used to get money to your parties. Yo, your friend's a legend. It was dope. It was funny.
That's so awesome.
It was cool.
So Pusha's great with kids.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Apparently.
How do you feel about, like, this age of aux cord DJs?
Does that even exist?
Oh, it does. Yeah.
Well, how do you...
Like, heavy in New York.
Like, but, like, in the club?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you just, like invite basically all your...
Off your phone, like iPod or something?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, not even a DJ program?
No.
No. And
you're
by the way...
You're putting a lot of work into that, but no.
And, like, not the bigger clubs that, like, Flex plays.
Just, like, those foo-foo spots where they just need somebody...
Like, anywhere in Brooklyn that's, like, hot right now, they'll just get anyone who has, like, a Twitter follower.
And an aux cord.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, travel...
If you can get an aux cord somewhere...
The aux cord is a new DJ. Hustle,
huh? Yes, yeah. DJ Those guys are going to have, like, instead of carrying their crates, they're just going to carry, like, their phone for them.
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts.
I guess, man,
I don't know. I guess
and they're getting
there,
gigs, but, like...
Yeah, but it makes you feel like such a... Like, you must feel like a dope, like, you know, carrying around all your gear.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I was thinking about it recently, how a lot of... I remember when Serato came in and everybody was... Not everybody. There were a handful of people who were fighting it.
Sure.
And it's like, now you think about it, they all switched over. We all use it. Fuck it, we figured it out.
Yeah,
I'll probably never DJ from my phone.
Right,
you know what I mean. But
your iPad maybe.
Nah.
But see, I don't know if you understand. Like, when you're DJing on your phone, like you don't even cut to the beat. Like you're just like switching to a song.
I have seen these little apps they have. They do have like ones where you can actually blend from one song to the other. But it's just
no. These people
ridiculous.
Are just like pressing like
stop,
next.
Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, wait, I want to actually listen to this song.
I'll say this.
It's crazy.
If you can find a schmuck who's going to pay you to do that,
mm-hmm.
God bless you, man. Fuck, if they want to pay you and the fans, I mean, the people in the club are so drunk that they don't care, hey, we're entering a new era. Yeah, I don't know.
Where do I
sign up?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get this money.
You and Just Blaze should just go... Off your phones.
Ox Wars.
Yeah.
No, fuck that.
Speaking of which, so you were on tour with Just Blaze in Europe.
Yeah.
You were there when Just Blaze got arrested, I'm assuming.
In Paris?
I wasn't. I was not.
That's a good alibi.
Unless he did not tell me.
Yeah.
Unless there's something I don't know. But I don't know. No, when we toured, we never had any issues.
That's good.
I think, I remember him telling me about something.
Yeah.
But I think it was the promoter, not him.
Oh,
was it something
right.
Something like that?
But I think that he somehow ended up like,
detained.
Spending, yeah,
detained.
Yeah.
Over like some weed or something. Was that what it was?
I don't remember exactly what it was.
But Just doesn't even smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't the underage boy thing, right?
No,
it was not. Not this time. We didn't catch him.
Just kidding.
Just Blaze is very elusive.
That elusive just. Hell no.
So
happy if you can.
Yeah. So the whole conceit of that, like of all those gigs was like you were battling him, your beats versus his beats.
We were going to war.
Yeah.
We were fighting beat supremacy.
Was
in Ghent, Belgium.
Do you ever think that Lil Wayne and Drake stole your idea?
Yeah, listen, I'm just trying to start some blog.
Start it up. Let's go. Yeah, yeah. I'm tired. Fuck. Nah, you know what? I mean, listen, Sound Clash is like the oldest.
Right.
That's where battling came from. It's like the reggae Sound Clashes where they would set up two fucking systems and literally whoever's system was louder used to win.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't say that. But yeah, maybe we sparked something. You
know? Thank you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think we did, man.
Yeah, I'm going to
look
too.
Into that. Look into that.
You're saying.
Holla at Wayne.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good, son. Listen, I know that you probably you lean a certain way, but who technically won?
Hey, yo.
Between you and Jay, you and Just. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm gonna keep it real.
Yeah.
I go out swinging. I go a hell of a fight. Listen, we it's a great thing because we both have good records.
Yep.
We both work with a lot of similar artists.
Yes. Mm.
Then we get into the Mobb Deep stuff, and then he comes with the Rockefeller, Jay-Z, fucking Sledgehammer. So it's like, we always had fun, but in the end, I still came swinging. I still had, like, we gonna make it and keep it thorough and shit like
and
that.
And you but guys aren't friends anymore because of
that. That's it. It's soiled the whole relationship. It's sour now. I just can't even look at him anymore. Fucking guy.
By the way, speaking of Rockefeller, you came real close to getting a placement with Jay, right?
A couple times, yeah.
Man.
A couple times. I definitely had a couple when he walked in, like, I was at the Rockefeller office going to see either Biggs or Hip Hop because I was always cool with both of them the most. And I think I was there. I actually played him the We Gonna Make It beat. I was playing it for Hip Hop and then he told Jay, come in the room.
Oh my God.
And he was just like, yeah, it's dope. And I was just walked out, just stuck his head in, you know what I mean?
Man.
But it was one time I was at, what club was it on 13th Street? Was it Life? It used to be called Life.
Yeah.
It was
on
13th Street. It's like a downtown club that Richie Akiva and Just Ski and them used to do.
Yeah.
I was there one night when We Gonna Make It was out, I think. And the whole... Actually, it was when, like, Mobb Deep or Nas and Jay-Z were kind of at the time. And Mobb Deep, all that. It was, like, not all good.
Yeah, right.
But I was at the party, and the whole Rockefeller was there at this table. Like, all of them standing on the fucking couch. Every one of them. All of them. Jay, Beans, Freeway, Dame. All of them. Cam wasn't. It was before Cam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I went up to say what's up to Biggs. It's like, just stood up on the couch, whatever. You know what I mean? It's like all on his couch and say what up to him. Saying, yo, say what up to Jay. And I don't really have a relationship with Jay. So I went over, he like just leaned over there, just leaned over to give him a pound. And he like leaned in my ear and was like, yo, when you gonna stop wasting them beats? And it was ill because it was like very confident and he wasn't trying to be funny.
Oh my God.
He just dead ass like, was like, yeah, it was. He just. That's how he. That was the first thing he said to me. He was, and I looked at him, and he was just like he was serious. So it threw me for. We're in a party, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The music's playing mad loud. We're standing on a fucking couch.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I ain't even about this music stuff in the club. I was like, we could go to the studio right now. Let's go. He was like, all right, bet. Yo, talk to Beans. Yo, Beans. So we're going to go to the studio after this. Yo, talk to him. So, like, going over to say what up to Beans. They went over to the studio after this work.
Yeah.
Had this girl with me. I was like, yo. I told her.
Oh,
yo,
you
yo.
Won. Yeah.
I took her. I jetted to the crib and grabbed my drum machine. Like, this is how serious I was. I wanted to show Jay-Z. And I told the girl, yo, you just got to bear with me. She's like, all right, cool. Roll with me. Went, pulled back up. And he said, we're going to meet at Baseline.
Yeah.
We went outside. And they got in the limo. They had limos or something. Let's meet at Baseline. Bet. Went and got my drum machine, man. Went over to Baseline. He did not show up.
But
Beans and Freeway did. And we ended up working on some record. I forget. It was a record at Different State Property.
That's awesome.
It was a little
another let down.
It was another let down. But, you know, this is one of my moments, you know. Which,
man.
I always wanted to do a record for him. Though. Yeah. That would have been crazy.
What did he say when you... Because you have played beats for him. Like, you did end up in the studio with him at some point, I assume,
Nah, we were never, like, in the studio playing beats in that environment. I think I would have got him if that was the case, if I had him in the studio with his attention.
Yeah.
But it was always, like, through Guru or through, you know, Biggs or somebody. Or, you know, he'll come in the room if I'm playing it for somebody.
We've long sort of, like, wanted to meet hip-hop, right? And, I mean, he's just...
You should get him on...
No, I mean... Oh, no, we're going to. Yeah. So, we went down to... Jeezy was mixing his record, his last record, down at Jungle City. And so we know Guru, we know Steve Carlis over at CTE, and we know obviously of hip hop. So we were just hanging out there, and all of a sudden hip hop just comes in, doesn't introduce himself or anything.
Hip hop.
Totally like
he appears.
He knows, yeah.
And then he disappears. That's what he's really good at.
Yeah. So
but he walks in the room and he just starts talking to us, and he's like,
he didn't even like say what's
nothing,
up.
Nothing,
like,
nothing.
Like knows who you guys are,
knows 100% who we are.
It.
Yeah.
I love that.
Like, yeah. Like fully understands, like
sounds like him.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then like, and laughs at everything we're saying. We're like, we're killing with hip hop. This is amazing. and then he disappeared. And we went to A Life for a Bobby Shmurda show. His first like in the city, right? And all of a sudden
he appears,
shows up next to us.
Legend of hip hop.
And he's just like, you know, watching this and making comments about it or whatever. And then we're like, yo, we got to take a picture with you. So we took a picture, and then all the comments from all our label friends were just like, he's like a unicorn. I can't believe you got him on camera.
This is the thing about Hop, man. Yeah. He's like Jay Electronica. It's
yeah.
The same. They appear. They disappear. You might reach him. You might not. He floats.
Yeah.
But he's the man. Love Hop.
Rides a bike around New York City.
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
Still lives in Harlem. These are like just everything we know.
He's such an eccentric.
Yes, he is. Right? Yeah, he's like the dude.
Yeah.
The Big Lebowski.
Unbelievable. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but
totally.
I mean, you know, yeah, that's actually one of the people that I met early on through Premiere. Mm-hmm. I was hanging out at Premiere. I used to go to D&D and
sure.
Kick it when he was working. And they were doing...
D&D was just closed, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. When I first moved to New York, like 95, 96, that was like a big deal to
totally.
Go over there and hang with Premiere.
Yeah.
And he... Hip hop came over to the D&D to pick up Premiere to take him to the other studio because Premiere was going to do scratches on his bike on the pegs.
Yeah,
and then he was doing scratches for that song for Jay, Cough Up a Lung, where I'm from.
Oh, yeah,
too many places, but I'm where I'm from.
Yeah.
So he was picking up Premiere to bring him to some other studio. Premiere was doing a favor and doing the scratches.
Man.
That's how I met hip hop, and he was like, this is Alchemist, he makes beats.
The Alchemist.
Not The Alchemist, yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
We were the same age, so it was ill because I was like, damn, he looked old, but I was like, yeah, what are you saying? His name is Hip Hop, so you already know he's like, he knows everything. Like,
right.
He's just well versed in like all versions of rap.
Totally.
So we just stayed cool for mad long. I never really broke bread with hip hop. Like, that's my man. He would always try to get me in with Jay, but just it never linked. But that's always been like a good friend of mine.
He's such a good guy.
You guys got to get him on the show.
No, totally. Yeah.
That would be great.
By the way, hip hop's name on Google, impossible. Like, you cannot Google hip hop.
Same with Oh No.
Yeah. Oh No was supposed to be here. We were going to ask him, like, what it's like to Google your own name when you can't find it. Like,
MJ.
How about all those names?
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, his real name is Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Party Supply's mind was blown when he saw the credits for Action's album. It was like, dog, you have Michael Jackson as a writer on your fucking album. Yeah. And Billy Joel, what's going on here? But yeah, you know, I mean, Oh No probably has one of 30 jokes.
Yeah.
He could reel off when, you know, when he's checking into a hotel.
Yeah,
they just laugh usually. They just look at him and laugh.
How about all the rappers now who have to, like, actually think about Google before they pick their names?
I don't think anybody thinks about Google anymore. I think only we think about
it. Okay, all right.
Yeah, like, but, like, what do you mean?
Like, let me trouble think about that.
Or problem.
Oh, you would have to look it up, you mean?
Well, you have to be, like, trouble rapper. And then it's like...
Oh, because when you search...
Yeah. It's just going to be, like,
see,
the
my thing is, like, I can't ever search Alchemist because... There's a book.
The book,
that supersedes anything I'll ever do. So, if you can't really search your own name. Shit eclipses it. Like, or if not, the second is, I'm third place, if any. The second is the Full Metal Alchemist, the anime.
There's
an anime cartoon that's real big.
Did not know this.
So
you spent a lot of time Googling.
I've tried this. I know what you're referring to.
Can we jump back to when you actually gave the beat to Jada.
Yeah.
For We Gonna Make It. What was that like? So obviously, like, you played it for Jay.
Well, actually, like, can we just trace the lineage of where the song...
That beat?
Yeah.
I laid that beat for Nas. Tracked it to a 2-inch tape.
Stop.
I swear to God I did. It was...
No, Eric told you to stop.
No, just stop.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Just stop. What was it? What happened? I had the beat. I played it. I had it, I knew it was dope. And then I played it for Nas. He was doing the QB's Finest compilation. I went to the studio, played it for him, and him and Horace were like, track that before you leave. Sun's going to black out. It's going to be a solo song for the album.
God.
So then I tracked the whole beat out with the engineer, left, came back like 2 weeks later or something, and then they were like, the engineer was like, Nas didn't lay in anything, but Millennium Thug laid a song to it.
Awesome.
And it's going to be his single. respect to Nayshawn. No, that's of course, my brother. Yeah, yeah. Did a lot of work, but it just, I was like, nah.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be for Nas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then I just told him I was going to do something else with it. And when did it? Prior to that, the whole Razzcast thing, they had it way before.
Yeah,
that was like even before this. I forgot. I did that even before. It was just, I had given it to him through this A&R at Profile this time. I forget his name, Ray Ray or something. Made a deal with them for 3 beats, and that was one of them. And it was like something, it was just like something in the back of my mind. And then I had moved on from it because the album got pushed back or something. Mm-hmm. And then, so then I did later for Nas. He was like, it didn't happen. Then I played it that time in the studio for Jay.
Yep.
But he didn't really, I was playing him for hip hop. And a friend of mine, this kid, hooked me up with Jadakiss. I didn't know them. But they had just done the freestyle over that Fat Joe beat, Bring It On. Mm-hmm. Stretch Armstrong. Yeah. It was a Stretch Armstrong freestyle. And that's like, Stretch hit me like, yo, you know, they killed your beat. Yo, they want to get with you. So it's like, okay. And, a friend of mine, this kid I knew in Lower Manhattan, knew one of them, Kiss, got me in touch with him. I went over to the studio.
Up in Yonkers?
Yep, went to the studio in Yonkers. And I played him a bunch of beats on this DAT I had. I was at like 35 beats on a DAT tape, just playing the beats, playing them. And then he was like, I remember when I met him, he was like, yo, you're going to get rich, kid. I remember Jadakiss was hyping me up. He was like, yo, you're going to get rich. Like, it was funny. I was like, okay, dope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then I left the DAT with him, and I said, yo, just go through the beats. You know what I mean? And then I think a couple days later, his man Kay, or he hit me up and said, yo, this is the one he wants to use.
Yeah.
It's like, great. So I went back over there, and they were going to record it. So I went over there. There was a bunch of people in the studio, in the Yonkers studio.
Yeah.
And Jada, he went in, and he laid the first line. And everybody was like, yo, you know, and then Styles P went in.
Yeah.
And they were like, it was like, oh, shit.
So you just witnessed this? You weren't, like, engineering or anything?
No, I was just, you know, I never engineer except nowadays at home. But all through those years, there was always engineers in the studio. Yeah. And we would just come with the beats. And,
yeah,
back when rap had money.
Yeah.
For sure. I know this.
This is that Interscope first record money, by the way.
We used to have assistant engineers.
What's that?
That right, exactly. Yo, Jada was there because he used to tell me, like, rape the budget.
Yeah.
You gotta rape the budget. And I used to be like, what do you guys mean? You know, because I always thought, like, you know, you get your, what, Jim Jones, these guys are getting, they're owning 70%. They're getting their money.
Yeah.
But
Jadakiss
used to tell me, yo, man, fuck that. You squeeze the money out of the budget each time you rape the label. And I was like, and now, over all the years, I get it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like they, you own all this, but they're touching the money and they're controlling it, so it's, who knows what's going on. So he just, you know, every budget he said, he just used to put his foot in Interscope's ass.
Oh my
god! Rape the budget.
That's good, such good a good ad lib. Yeah,
yeah.
Good advice from Jada. Rape the budget.
All right. So Jay and Nas had a beef. I don't know if you remember.
Yes, vaguely.
Whose side did you choose? Did you choose sides?
I can tell you that, for us, not like knowing either of them, certainly at the time, like, I definitely chose sides, and I didn't listen to Nas for years.
Really?
And what does
that
it mean?
That was it.
Yeah.
Like, Jay was your guy.
Like, I would get so angry when I would hear, like,
Anything Nas. You're a super fan.
It was crazy.
You're
it was crazy.
Holy shit.
Like, and it took until that
you
Power
105. You don't seem the same. You're like,
No, I also, I'm like, this sounds normal to me. I'm like,
you felt the same way. Yeah, it was mutual.
Yeah.
I mean, not like anger,
was it throughout your whole circle, or was like some people you knew that was like,
no,
they're tripping, or everybody
it was
unanimous.
It was really,
nobody around us was really listening to Nas.
By the way, we were also Jay sort of apologists, because remember when he dropped Super Ugly? We're like, yeah, that's right, okay, yeah.
You were trying to ride for him.
Yeah.
I'll say this, man, because I worked with Nas and I was down with him. I didn't pick sides, but I was definitely part, like, you know, like Nas. I was happy when Ether came out. Let's say that, and it felt like the city was like, Yo, when the whole thing with Hot 97, that was ill to me for him, because Nas, for a person who's so dope, had a lot of, like, mishaps or L's in his career, but still, like, to me, one of the best, you know what I mean?
So then it was like, Stillmatic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, but I will say that in retrospect, if you weigh the two songs, damn, I can't say this, man. I don't know. I'll just say I have more respect for The Takeover as a song It aged well.
How about as a moment?
It didn't win
too.
The battle, but it aged. Probably aged better as a beat and a song. Shout out to Ron Brown.
As a moment, yeah. Takeover was just insane.
That beat is
Summer Jam stage.
Right. And by the way, Eric is very unbiased about this.
It was a synergy. There was a synergy. Everything came together for him right there. Yeah. That beat. I mean, that beat is, you know, the Doors. I think it's the Doors.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But
wait,
yeah.
Does Nas still perform Ether?
I don't think so.
That's such a bummer because like it was like.
But
one
did you see? So Jay did the B-sides concerts this past weekend in New York, and one of them was Takeover.
He did Takeover.
Yeah.
Did he do People Talking?
I don't.
I love that one.
Yeah.
What you know about that?
Yeah.
Man. That was Ski, I think, right? That beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that song was crazy. It's funny. I made that beat too, like around that same time. Same
really?
Sample. I think it was Johnny Guitar Watts.
By the way, what's the toughest sample you had to clear?
Or couldn't clear.
Yeah,
couldn't clear.
I mean, yeah.
Shit, I always have issues, but it's like depending on the artist.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Because now, like, for instance, like Action, like, will write to a, like, an artist that he wants to sample and say, like, hey, this is me and this is what I'm looking
Billy
to do
Joel.
With this song.
Hey,
yeah.
Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Can I have a sample? I don't know what's hard. I mean, I see Bob James is suing people now, so you just got to be careful.
Sure,
I guess. You got to just.
Well, does this whole Grand Theft Auto thing like change your whole perspective? You're like, oh, I'll just use stuff that's not hard to sample.
It definitely gave me an option.
Yeah,
where it's like, well, you're not stuck with records,
sure.
Because I mean, I think using records gave us a discipline though, because we have to find what we're looking for.
Yeah.
We can't, you know, if I just knew how to play music, I just play whatever's on my mind.
But
then the sky's the limit. So when you're limited to finding the discipline of waiting to find samples, now that we're getting beds of music, it's just nothing like a fucking sample. It's just like it might be a 1 second chop or a little piece of it's 17 instruments right there.
Yeah.
And that little piece all from that part, you know, or like 10 different humans.
Sure.
You know, energy versus like now beat makers are in the lab with just them and a keyboard player.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just different. You know, but
just interpolate. Just interpolate and steal.
Twist it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. In steal / interpolate.
Yep.
Just flip.
Yeah.
It's all good.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Okay. So after Green Lantern's whole thing with the Shady Records camp, you took over as the touring DJ for Eminem.
The Takeover.
And what relationship do you have with Green Lantern now? Like,
and what relationship did you have prior?
We were always cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Green's my man.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was never an issue between me and him or like, damn.
Right.
Know, it felt like, you know, it was a scenario that was unfortunate to happen.
Sure.
Yeah.
And.
But he's done all right. He's now on,
he's
on Nas' tour. Yeah,
yeah, but he can't play Ether.
There you go.
Yeah, he made good, you know what I mean? And Green is super talented.
Oh, totally.
Very, very, very talented dude. So, he's, you know, he's always going to do
also, he should, like, the nicest person.
He is really the nicest person. He should do his own remix of the Gang Green album and call it Gang Green Lantern.
Ooh.
Yeah.
See, look at
it'll
this.
Be hot.
Look at
Gang
this. You thought you were coming here for an interview. You got an A&R.
A&R right now.
He's got ideas over here. He's an idea guy.
Yo.
He's a thinker.
He's a Jew. He loves puns.
That's right.
Thoughts are going off over here.
We were listening to a bunch of Green Lantern stuff on the way down to Vegas and the way back, actually, and it still goes. Like,
for sure.
There's nothing like that on the radio anymore.
He's super conceptual, and like, if you ever sit with him when he's talking about the project, it's like, whoa. He's like, all right, I'm going to put this. And he's like a mad scientist, and he'll like talk it all out. And you're just
he's an evil genius.
Evil genius
he's
is what he is. Yeah.
Evil genius, that guy. Yeah, no, some of his tapes are just legendary shit.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
I mean? So he's doing his thing.
Yeah.
I hate him. Fuck Green Lantern.
There we go. That's all in here.
That's going to be our drop.
But wait, so what was like the conversation like when you were brought in to DJ for Eminem?
It was more or less.
And for G-Unit, I guess.
Yeah, well, it was. I think the reason I got the gig to DJ for M at that time was. Definitely not because of my crab scratch ability.
But how is your crab scratch?
Upside down, you know, moves. And, you know, Ryan Lewis got moves, man. You ever see him DJ?
No.
Jumping over the tape. He's making it look. He got dance moves.
Yeah.
Not dance moves.
Yeah.
He's making it hard for us, man. Nah, but it was like, you know, I think I got the gig not because of that. It was more that I had known him from like. Basically, when he just blew, you know, when he first came into the game, because Paul was my lawyer. Mm-hmm.
Really?
I used to do, yeah, like my first beats when I was just starting to get...
Paul of the Rosenbergs.
Paul of the Rosenberg. He had moved to New York. He had Rosenberg and Settlemeyer Esquire.
Yeah.
Had an office, and they were basically running as lawyers. And Muggs was using Theo.
Yeah.
And he introduced me and said, you should use Paul. Paul just... It was just around the time when he was getting the deal. He was still shopping them. They were already talking to people.
Yeah.
And was already kind of buzzing on the underground. And so I had known Paul and M since then. And even though we never worked, me and M, we always stayed cool.
Yeah.
And then my brother ended up moving to New York a couple years after M blew up. And ended up working for Paul. And has been working with Paul in the office. And Shady also manages me through Paul.
Yeah.
So the relationship was there with my brother already for years. And we were already trying to figure out a way because I wasn't being managed or anything.
Yeah.
First, it was like I started being managed by Paul through my brother.
Yep.
Because he had this whole empire of Shady now and a Goliath.
Yeah.
So, and then when the thing happened with Green, it was like my brother told me that he was just seeing every manager of every DJ come through the office making their bid. Like, yo, this is who you need. Yeah. You know, the job is open. And he asked me one day, yo, would you be down to DJ for him? I was like... Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Hell yeah, why not? You know, because I think it was more the comfortability for him.
Right.
At that point in his career, he doesn't want to meet somebody new or somebody who's like amazing as a DJ.
It's
I knew the protocols. I know how the system works over there.
And Serato. I think
Yeah. Yes. But I, you know what I mean? Yeah, I just not really technically. It's more about knowing how to be around him.
Yeah.
Because he's definitely a people person. And if, you know, at that time too, he was still high.
Yeah.
Certain people could just...
Send him off.
Yeah. And you had to know how to be around him and also with information and things within that camp because my brother worked there. I always knew what it was. So they were comfortable.
So is that really like, I mean, is everything else minor league compared to like an Eminem operation when you're going to like Japan or whatever?
Nothing compares
to
what I do. You know what I mean? I'm fucking Free Willy. Wow, I'm doing dumb shit when I'm by myself. You know what I mean? I'm against the law. But I mean, with M, everything is by the book. And it's also... You know, private jets to Europe and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Or it's like,
I mean, we all know that life. Though.
Yeah,
you know, you got to do it every now and then. Yeah. I only do it obviously with them. I wish I could do it on my own.
Sure,
but that definitely added a new level because I'd already done so much. But it was like, that shit humbled me crazy. Fuck, I ain't shit. I thought I had a little career already. And, you know, now I'm out with M and, you know, I've never been on a private jet. This is crazy. And then like realizing that. Even everything I built up as Alchemist or The Alchemist.
Whichever. Alchemist. Yeah.
Whatever. And then whatever that is, if you put that next to Eminem's DJ, it doesn't weigh up globally. So if I'm out in the world, I'm like, fuck. Just being this guy's DJ is bigger than what... So I got work to do. That's when I thought I had my career, my shit.
Yeah.
It humbles you.
Sure.
You know, I still know I got my shit, but it's still... Okay. Man, I'm right next to him.
Yeah.
You know, and I just try to let that shit somehow... I absorb it, you know.
So how often do you play any new beats for him?
He's always got an open ear.
Yeah.
I mean, you just got to know the right times to do it.
But
we have a lot of travel time when we're on the plane or driving in cars. So I just wait for the right time. But I would love to blame it on somebody else.
Your brother?
Anyone. No, I would love to say why I haven't done a beat for him on the album and go, yo, it's this guy, man. yo, to be honest, I think it's just me not really buckling down and trying to focus on making just beats and sending them just to him. And
because
when we do get up, he always wants to hear stuff. So, you know, sometimes people think, yo, they hold, who's not letting them hear your beats? It's not that.
It's Interscope again.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're trying to hold the Jewish guy down.
Hey,
you know, I respectfully disagree. I think that you are just, like Jay-Z said, like, he doesn't want you to waste your beats. And you're just like, you want to know, I'm not going to give it to Eminem.
Shit, you crazy? Give it to Eminem. Give that check. My man
did you
numbers.
Did you play a part in introducing Mac Miller to Eminem in Japan?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did. I introduced him.
How did that go over?
I did that.
Oh, yo.
That was cool. That was cool.
Shit.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was interesting to see them, you know, like both meet. It was like, it was weird because it was in Japan after the show, and it was just like,
and it was two
moment.
White people talking
in Japan.
Two white guys in Japan.
In Japan,
they met. I went and hung out with Mac in Japan for the day or something. Me and him went to the Bathing Ape store or something. He like spent out crazy, and something happened where he couldn't get his card. It was something nuts
that humbled him.
But he fixed it. Believe me, he walked out with those fucking bags.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Stole it.
Whatever. You know, he's crafty.
We were so we were in LA. This is probably like a year ago, right?
All right.
And we went to this. There's a club again on Fairfax, actually near Koufax. That's co-owned by Olivia Wilde and Sean Parker and
Who are these people? You're
you know them. You're from here.
Yeah.
Who's Olivia Parker? I don't know.
No, Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde, the actress.
I don't know.
Stop it. How's that donut?
I don't know.
How's that donut, by the way?
Good fucking donut.
It's nice, right?
But anyway, so like it's owned by a bunch of celebrities, A-listers, if you will, in the old Largo space on Fairfax.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a name. Like you have to have like a black
business card. Yeah.
Like all blacked out to get in.
Yeah. It's like real like particular. So we end up in there just to talk with our manager. And we end up next to –
it was like 30 people were there.
Oh, do you remember Kenna? Who was signed to the Neptunes, singer.
He
vaguely.
Yeah, he like climbed Mount Kilimanjaro for like MTV.
That's what he's sort of known for. Yeah.
These are stats right here.
Yeah. So he
holy shit.
Yeah.
So you don't know Kenna or Olivia Wilde? This is crazy.
I know nothing. I know so donuts.
He was curating this night, so it was only like people that he would like bring in and
But anyway, so like Paris Hilton was there, and like Stephen Merchant.
More names. Yes, give me some more. Give me some more. Come on, that's not enough.
Emile Hirsch. Yeah.
One more. I need to see more.
Shit.
I don't know who else was there.
I need one.
I know. I got one. Okay. So.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Eric and I sit down, and we're with these two girls, and
we're in one of those like booths, right?
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly,
we look at the door. This girl next to me was waving at the door, and in walks Owen Wilson.
That's the other name.
Yeah, that's the other name. So Owen Wilson.
Who the fuck is... Oh, yeah. He's the guy actor, with the crooked nose.
Yeah.
Accident nose.
Yeah,
yeah.
Accident
nose. Yeah. Got him.
You know him.
You know him.
So he comes in and sits down in our booth, and we get to talking, and he goes to us, like, what do you guys do? And we're like, oh, well, we're hip-hop sketch comedians. And he was like, that's very interesting. I was just reading this New Yorker piece about a guy named Peter Rosenberg. Do you know him? We're like... How is this the first thing you bring up?
You guys are blowing Peter Rosenberg.
I know, crazy.
Jeez, he's gonna
crazy.
Get hyped.
His ego, out of here.
So we. Owen Wilson is inquiring about
Peter Rosenberg. Yeah. He goes.
Man's doing his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, Peter Rosenberg gets along with his parents.
Nice guy.
Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
That's like, the line he told you.
That's what he told us.
He's a yutz.
So second thing,
are
he
you
goes.
Fucking kidding?
Oh, swear to God. Then he goes. Do you guys know a young rapper, white rapper, a lot of tattoos named Mac? We're like Mac Miller. Yes, we're friends with him. We've been on his TV show. Yeah, we know Mac Miller. He was like, oh, I was hanging out at my neighbor Rick Rubin's house with him and Mac. And we were going from
ice bath to hot tub to ice bath.
And we're like, what kind of world?
Yeah, what are you even live in? What are you even saying? And so then
I'm trying to visualize those three people just shifting from different temperature baths.
On some like, meditative
here
shit.
I come. Yeah. You out. Are you done?
Oh, it's a rotation.
Yeah, they rotate. Yeah. It's like a cycle.
So
this is like around the time of like the ALS ice bucket challenge.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Rick Rubin is challenged by
somebody.
Eminem.
No. Eminem challenged him?
I think he did challenge.
I thought it went the other way.
Yeah. Rick Rubin challenged Eminem.
Yeah. So you see this video online.
And it's Rick Rubin into like a giant, like he's filling up a giant tub with all ice. And then he submerges himself and credits roll.
And who does he challenge? Eminem, like Rihanna maybe, right?
Yeah.
And Owen Wilson. And we were just like... Like mind blown. We're like, yo, this story was true. They're really hanging out.
Of course it was true.
What do you know about this?
What do you mean?
Do you know about? Have you been to Shangri-La? Rick Rubin's house.
Yeah.
No.
Really?
I have not.
You haven't gotten that invite?
I don't know about
you. You know everyone who knows him, except Owen Wilson.
I met him a couple of times. We had, you know, short convos.
Yeah.
No, I don't have a relationship with Rick. Now, what does Shangri-La put me on? This sounds
that's what he calls his house.
It's this. It's a famous studio, though, and that's where he lives now and operates out of. And
I'm not as cool as Mac Miller, man. I don't get these calls. Man.
You don't get to go from ice bath to hot tub to ice bath.
You know that the cool like the pull quote from this is going to be Alchemist. Not as cool as
not
Mac
as
Miller.
Cool as Mac Miller, yeah. Man. That might be the name of my next album.
When is your next album, by the way?
I don't know.
It's been a long time.
I'm working. I got a couple. You know what it is?
Who's stopping you? Your brother?
I should have brought it. You know what? I have a album I'm putting out. In 10 days, it's just instrumentals.
Okay.
And it's called Israeli Salad. And it's all beats made from Israel salad.
For all you aspiring rappers out there.
It's all just beats, but it's made from... I went to a trip to Israel a couple years ago, and I just made all these beats. And you, damn, I should have.
But this is just like one. Oh No, right? Like, who likes to?
It's
yeah.
similar. That's yeah. what got me into That's this, dope. Like doing different things. Like, and mm-hmm. basically, I have another project after that called Retarded Alligator Beats.
Okay,
and it's just beats.
It's family friendly.
Everybody, it's very you know suitable. You know, it's very. Yeah. But yeah, they're basically they're just beats that are new, and I'm just trying to. I have my own label now. Mm-hmm. Like I've been had it actually, yeah. AOS, but it's like the market keeps fucking changing of what to do these days, and
sure.
it's like free mixtapes. Merch for a while, okay. Yeah. So it's in, put out an album on CD and it sells more digital. So everything keeps shifting.
Yeah.
But then vinyl came back lately. The
right.
Last couple of years,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. The market for vinyl started mm-hmm. coming back as a tangible item people want to buy. So I'm just doing a whole series of vinyl releases, 45s. I'm doing mad shit, like, and I'm releasing them digital.
Yeah.
But I'm not even making CDs in my next projects. I'm just fucking. I'm not. The fight is fixed.
I don't understand like putting out physical CDs, but when we talk to like Southern rappers like Bun B, he's
yeah,
like,
say
that, put it in the car,
yeah, yeah,
got to ride to it.
I, but they ride with their iPod now too, with their iPhone, with the aux.
With the aux yeah, cord.
Like aux cord DJ
See?
All day.
Alchemist is on Team Aux
you
cord
know.
Now. Yeah.
But yeah, so I got a couple of those projects coming. I also have a new Gang Green album. Me and O
dope.
Have a new album. We got the first single with Action, probably coming out in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Very
we
dope.
Got a video shot already with Gold Watch, with Jason Gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, so we another campaign, yeah.
Your videos with him, his videos with you
he's
are
the man.
Amazing.
Yeah.
He's fucking a strange looking guy, but
what does
very,
he look like? I've never seen him.
If, if, like, let's say, what's that guy, that actor?
Owen Wilson. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, if Owen Wilson got washed up on drugs and just was like, had a bad week in Vegas, haven't shaved.
Jason
Goldwatch. And just somebody tatted his whole fucking body.
Mm-hmm.
You have Jason Goldwatch.
Wow, so Jason's looking pretty good.
Yeah, he looks like a recovering heroin addict who just fell back into the pit. He just gave back up. Yeah, but now he's the man. He's the man. He has like crazy fucking ideas. Even on the new album, he even gave us an idea for a video.
Yeah.
And then was like, make a song like this.
Yeah.
And I have a video idea. And we actually made a song based on his video idea.
That's
so
awesome.
Some different shit.
Yeah. You know?
So it was like, yeah, but he's the man.
In all sincerity, and this is like being fully serious, do you ever like do a Hooligans like reunion between just the two of you?
I just got a call from Scott this morning. It's funny.
Really?
Scott Kahn?
I just called him this morning. My man, of course I would.
Nah, yeah.
We got some ideas, man.
Oh, okay.
He's actually a very good rapper
no,
still.
Yeah, no, for
he,
real.
Then it was like, all right, we were all just kids, but he somehow raps still and sounds decent. Like
that's
he's just talented.
Who's he recording with?
He just does it for fun. He has a baby now. He just sent me a picture. He had a kid recently.
He should record with The Alchemist.
It's very possible. Yeah. We've done some
that
things.
Alchemist.
There are some
that
things Alchemist. With him in Action that have happened.
Whoa, what?
There are some records with him in Action.
Wow.
Together.
Yo, that's wild and makes so much sense, by the
and
way.
And it's dope. It's really dope.
Are you rapping on that too?
I am.
Wow.
Wow.
Actually, Action has the first song with both of us again together.
Yo, what?
Yo, yes, he does.
Yo,
there
can
are
you
a
leak
lot
that?
Of like kids shit. Or adults now from Beverly Hills who are very jealous.
Can you leak that through itsthereal.com?
I should, man. Fuck. It's going to come out though.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Oh, that's real cool.
You know, Action, they're friends. I introduced them. They're mad cool.
So. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Who else has Scott Kahn met? Let's just make this a Scott Kahn podcast.
The 6 degrees of Scott Kahn.
Yeah, a Scott Kahn podcast.
That's my man.
Did you see the DJ AM documentary?
Have not seen it yet.
Okay.
Man.
I know it premiered in New York at the film festival.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's I mean,
something.
I don't have nothing.
Oh, okay.
Anything bad to say. I mean,
gotcha.
I mean that was my brother.
Like, yeah, of
we
course.
Grew up together. So
right.
it was, I don't know. I don't know. If my brother told me my brother was like closest with him.
Yeah.
He was like, was his roommate through high school. I mean, through after college.
Yeah.
Just like one of his closest friends.
Yeah.
And then I think, I don't know. I don't really know the details of how the thing was being presented, and it's just a touchy thing. You know
right.
I mean? He had a crazy fucking life before
yep.
he was famous.
Yeah.
Before all that shit.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're presenting or how. I'm definitely going to check it out. But,
yeah.
You know, that's crazy. Yeah. I actually did see the Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, I saw that
joint.
One too.
That's
yeah.
pretty fucking heavy.
Yeah.
That's sick. That was like, oh.
Yeah.
It was dope to see those drawings and the.
Yeah.
You just
like he was like very damaged from the start.
Damaged, but what I got from it was like. All right, but think of the real problems in the world. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He didn't have it that bad, but
right.
he still found a way to feel like he was so
yes.
problemed, and it channeled. He was very depressed, but the problems
yeah.
weren't like some of the problems in the world. But like
right.
somehow that creates great music, even if you got to tell yourself, "Yo, shit's fucked up,
yeah.
and everything is not right." But he was definitely very creative, yo, from the beginning. Like, those drawings and shit, it's like, well, it reminded me of some of the shit that I have, like, because we all have, like, I keep all my old stuff, like, old game plans and just everything, like, drawings, whatever it is.
Were
just,
you the kid in high school who, like, sat in the back, drew pictures, like...
Nah, it was a good mix. I think, nah, I wasn't a fucking weirdo in high school. Definitely was getting girls and still being cool, but we were fucking up also. Like, but I also did good in school. So I was like, I was a good mix.
So you won
all
around.
In school. I did well in school. Yeah, right? Damn, my mom would be so mad. Yo, I did mad good in school, yo. Yo, you know what I'm saying?
What was the roughest or toughest thing that you saw in Beverly Hills?
Man, what was tough in Beverly Hills? Shit.
Because we have a friend, Dan Levy, who got beaten up and robbed. Yeah.
I think somebody got shot with a paintball gun.
Okay.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa! Like, you know what I mean? Like,
do you guys have a local newspaper? Like the Beverly Hills, like...
Yeah, there is something. The Dispatch Courier, or something. The Beverly Hills Courier or some shit like that. It's probably now, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, now it's online.
So right. Exactly, yeah. But,
it's a patch page.
It wasn't hard to be a bad person in Beverly Hills because you didn't have to climb any ladders, you know?
Right,
it's like, you know...
Believe me, like, I listened to the hooligans.
The tough guys of Beverly Hills we were. Ooh, you know, thugging it out.
I think it was just like Los Santos.
Just like it. Same thing. Just ran around wilding. No, I was... Who else? Lenny Kravitz. I can't think of who else like grew up and went to Beverly Hills High and did music. It was
Cameron
not
Diaz.
Many people. Yeah, well, a lot of people did acting. Yeah. It wasn't as much music stuff. But
no, Cameron Diaz went to school with Snoop in like Long Beach.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all the same.
Yeah, but we hated it growing up in Beverly Hills. We hated it.
Yeah.
Because we used to go to Westwood and West, you know, and go hang out other places. Or I'd go see Evidence who grew up in Venice.
Yeah.
And it would just be like, I'd hate anybody ask you where you're from. I would never say Beverly Hills.
Yeah,
right. Like, yeah, from West LA. Where? Westwood. West. I would just never say Beverly Hills because it was like, oh, you sucker. Fucking rich
But that's
kid.
Only because like it was like so huge at the time, like 90210, like the show, not your zip code.
It definitely didn't help us.
Yeah.
That made it worse. Like, so, oh, man.
So on your Facebook page, does it say that you graduated from...
I don't even have a fucking Facebook page.
Really?
I never did Facebook. But no, I didn't graduate from Beverly Hills High because I went on tour. After the second year.
Wow.
I was a sophomore. I went on tour with Cypress.
Yeah.
And then it was like I had to find a new school after that because I missed a whole semester. My brother graduated from Beverly High. Yeah.
That's why he got the job with Paul Rosenberg.
That's right.
Yeah.
That bastard. Those extra years of high school.
Who is the most like random person to like not follow you on Instagram, but like be active on your Instagram? Like leave comments or like...
Oh, what's his name? Bernie Nichols.
Bernie Nichols
was like...
Wasn't that the guy who shot somebody on the soap? Oh, no.
He was like a legendary ice hockey player from the 80s.
Really?
Straight up. I don't know how he ended up following me.
Yo,
but he like
is
DM'd
Action
me.
Bronson so jealous?
I don't think he even knew who Bernie Nichols was. How about that? It blew his mind when I showed him like, yeah, Bernie Nichols, man. And then I think like The Rock tweeted me one time.
Whoa.
But it was an accident.
Really?
Yeah, like what somehow.
He meant to do another Alchemist.
Somebody retweeted something I wrote, and then he like responded and was like,
yo, so that shows
seemed,
up on your phone?
And the mad people were hitting me like, yo, son. Like, think Damo Genesis from hit me up like, what? Like, his nickname is the People's Champ. He was like, yo, Rock hit you up?
I guess?
Phone. I was like, yeah, son, I'm out here, man. Rock.
All right, so... Everybody knows that Diddy is—he's rich.
Get out of town, man!
Sorry, I thought that everybody got cash? Knew. I thought that everybody knew.
Huh. Thought those were jokes.
Do you think that he regrets buying anything anymore?
Hell no.
What do you think the last thing that he regretted buying was, though?
What would be the last thing he regretted buying?
You think if he bought
drugs?
Like, you think
he wouldn't buy drugs?
You think if he bought like a house somewhere, he was just like, ah. I'm just not, like, into this place anymore.
Maybe
he would regret it.
Nah, you'd never regret buying a fucking house because that's money.
Okay.
That's money. That's a asset, not a liability.
Okay, fair
but
enough.
But now let's say, what would he regret buying? I don't think Puff spends a lot of money. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think he spends a lot of money. I think he makes ways. He has the richest people and are very, very chintzy. They know how to cut the corners. Puff has learned from some of the best accountants. I mean, in my experience, from working with those
budget.
Guys. Yep. But, I mean, his lifestyle is probably expensive, I'd say. Yeah, okay, but
yeah.
I don't know, fucking jet or something. Yeah. Fucking mink toilet paper for his jet.
You know about that private jet life now.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I feel like mink toilet paper would not work very well, by the way.
It wouldn't work.
No.
But like a maybe, a mink floor mat to put underneath the shitter so you can just like thug it out with his toes.
You think he has one of those and regrets it?
No, maybe.
Yeah, maybe it didn't work out. Let's say that.
Maybe it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He ashed on it in a cigar and it just fucking lit on fire.
Oh, man. We really appreciate you coming all the way to the West Side.
I appreciate you guys being on the West Side.
Oh, yeah, look.
I wouldn't have flown to New York.
No. Not even to see your brother? But the next time you should come to our apartment.
We'll actually cook for you.
Yeah, we'll actually
cook. Sounds crazy. Yeah. I'm into it.
That's really wild.
Two men saying, we'll cook for you, but I'm in.
Peter Rosenberg will show up. Peter Rosenberg will do the shopping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
It'll be a big thing.
In.
Yeah.
I'm in.
If
you got to get hip hop, if you need help, let me know, man. I'm going to text him after this.
We are going to make that happen.
Yeah. I want to help make that happen.
Man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure.
I'm Eric.
I'm Jeff.
I am Shlomo.
Yeah.
Alchemist.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening to another episode of It's the Real Classic. Jeff, if people want to find out more about us, I'm Eric with the curly hair. You are Jeff with the glasses. Together, we are It's the Real. One word, no apostrophe, no spaces. If people want to find out more about this podcast, it's called A Waste of Time with It's the Real. Also, Quarantine Radio, the original Quarantine Radio, and Saturdays with the Indoor Boys. Jeff, people want to find out more about what's going on with us. Where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com, or you can actually go to patreon.com/itsthereal. That is where we are going to be putting most of our content coming up. patreon.com/itsthereal. Also follow us on Twitter at itsthereal and Instagram at itsthereal.
Jeff, is there anybody, any profession you want to shout out in these times right now before we head to the end of this podcast?
I want to shout out all of the people who work down in the subways of New York City. You know, a lot of people have been getting sick down there, and it's a job, just like all these jobs, where you didn't sign up for this to get sick. You didn't sign up to get yourself into any danger. You just want to go home to your families and shit. And so I want to shout out all the subway workers. You know, we have some listeners of ours who work on the subway, and I think of them often, and so I want to shout them out.
And I would like to shout out, Jeff, all the doctors and medical care professionals who are out there who did sign up for this and are still going in and fighting the good fight and keeping that number on the decline here in New York City and hopefully around the rest of the world. Thank you to everybody who is doing your job in here, out there, wherever you are, making it through the day by day, moment by moment. Jeff, are we back tomorrow?
We are back every day forever.
As always, guys, not for real, for real.
Sure, sure.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.